Okay, let's pray before we get into the message for today. Holy Spirit, we just thank you for your presence in this place. I pray right now that you would help us to focus on your word, your truth, and what you want to communicate to us here today. I ask that you would use me as your vessel to speak your truth in love, but I pray also that you would soften our hearts to receive your truth. I pray for wisdom and revelation that we would understand what our identity is in Christ, and may this begin to shape and form how we think about ourselves and how we live our lives for you. In your name we pray, amen. So last week, I started a new series on identity in Christ and asked the question, who are you? And I left us with that question last week to think about, who are you in Christ? What is your current relationship like with Christ? What does Jesus say about who you are compared to all the other opinions in the world? And we talked about having an identity that is rooted in Christ, that we need to have a strong identity that is rooted in Christ as Christians. And we are on a journey of growing into the likeness of Jesus. Last week we learned that we need to have a strong identity that is rooted in Christ and what he says about us. And why is that important? Because there are so many different voices and opinions that are out there that will tell us so many different messages about who we should be, how we should think, how we should act, and how we should live our lives. But the only opinion that matters is Christ. In his word, he reveals to us and he tells us how we should be living as Christians. And it's his opinion that matters in our life about who we are and how we should be living. We need to have a strong identity that is rooted in Christ. This morning, I had the privilege of listening to another sermon. And the one thing that stood out to me from that sermon is this pastor shared that when we get to heaven and we stand before Christ, Christ is not going to judge us based on our sin. If we really understand the scripture we just read, our sin has been redeemed. We have been forgiven. When God looks at us, and even when we mess up and we sin, he does not remember our sin. He does not see our sin, but he sees the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, that covers our sin. It takes revelation to believe that and to understand that. But when we stand before Christ, Christ is going to judge us on our life and how we used our time in service to him. He is going to judge us on the fruitfulness and the faithfulness of our life in terms of how we have responded to the gospel, how we have responded to God's grace, how we have responded to receiving an abundance of grace and forgiveness, how we live our lives as Christians. And I want to remind us that as we're on this journey of growing into the likeness of Christ, that according to Jesus, the goal of our Christianity or the goal of our life is not to be a good Sunday churchgoer. If this is what you feel morally, or even what your purpose is as a Christian, is to be a good Sunday churchgoer, then again, either you have been deceived or you have misunderstood the calling of Jesus Christ, of what it means to be a faithful follower of Christ. Is it good to go to church on Sunday and be here today and listen to a message and worship God? Yes, it is a good thing if your heart is reverent and right before God. Is it a good thing if you come to church on Sunday and your desire is to connect with God and to hear God's voice and grow into the likeness of Christ? Absolutely. We are commanded to gather together. But coming to church is not the fullness of what it means to be a true follower of Christ. It is not the end goal of what it means to be a disciple of Christ. And so we have to understand that, yes, this is a good thing if our heart is right. But if we are simply just here today to go through the motions, or this is just a normal part of our routine, or even if you are here for someone else, your parents or whoever, then God is not pleased with that type of heart or motivation. But the goal is not to be just a good Sunday churchgoer. The goal is not to be just a Sunday worshiper. This is not the goal of what it means to be a follower of Christ. I've been sharing with you guys about sitting on the sidelines. The goal is not to be a casual Christian, where you are simply just on the sidelines watching everybody else follow Christ wholeheartedly and with passion. But Jesus wants all of us as the church, if we identify with Christ and if we identify ourselves as a Christian, he wants all of us to get in the game, to become a disciple that is actively passionate about him and his gospel, spreading his gospel, not just simply watching others do it and others live passionately for Christ. We've been on this goal of what it means to grow as a soldier of Christ, because we've been understanding that as Christians, we are in a battle, and we have a real enemy that is not only trying to destroy our faith, but the faith of the people that are around us. And if we are not equipped as soldiers of Christ, sadly, we will fall. We will turn away from God. We will see others turn away from God, and we will see others miss the point of what their life is supposed to be. We are called to grow into the likeness of Christ, and this is the journey we are currently on. The young disciple, Timothy, he says in 2 Timothy, endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Sorry, this is Paul writing to the young disciple, Timothy. He says, endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life, for then they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. What is Paul telling Timothy and telling us? Well, one, he's saying that as a soldier of Christ, we will need to endure. We will need to endure hardship. We will need to endure suffering. And we will need to endure times in our life that don't go the way we particularly want it to go. He is also saying that suffering is going to be a part of every soldier's life. If you are a Christian, then suffering is a natural part of being a Christian. There is no true message out there, and some pastors preach it, that if you come to Christ, you are going to avoid suffering. That is a false message. That is a false gospel. Jesus himself said that if we follow him, we will need to endure suffering. There is going to be times in our life that is uncomfortable. It's not going to go the way that we want. But if we endure all the way to the end, when he returns, we will be saved. Paul continues to tell Timothy, soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life. We've been talking about this. I've shared this with you guys repeatedly. That what is your worldview? What is your focus? What is the goal of your life? If it is simply just to gain a good career and have a family and build your life here on this temporary earth, then we've missed the point of what it means to follow Christ. We all need to eat. We all need to live. We all need to pursue things in life. And none of those things are bad. But if those things are the only focus of our life, then we have actually missed what Jesus wants us to do as Christians. We are called to grow into his likeness. We are called to do the same things that he did. We are called to live the same way that he did. And as soldiers, we don't get distracted by the things of the world. We don't live the same way that the world lives. We don't follow the same goals that the world has. We are not just simply pursuing building a good life for us here on this earth, but we are focused on building a life that is going to last for all of eternity. This is what it means to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. If we were to actually break this down and define what it means to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, well, a good soldier of Christ is a Christian who endures hardship, prioritizes pleasing God above all else, and avoids worldly distractions to fulfill Christ's mission. I will say that again. A good soldier, which is what we are called to be. We endure hardship, we prioritize God above all else, and we avoid worldly distractions to fulfill Christ's mission of preaching the gospel and making disciples. And I've shared this with you guys before. We are either in two places, hopefully. We are either on a journey of growing to be a disciple of Christ, where we are learning his word, we are growing in his word, and we are getting to a place where we can then begin to teach others. Because according to Jesus, we are all teachers of the Bible. And that's what it means to be a disciple. Or we are on a journey where we have grown and we feel that we have something that we can pass on to others. Whether that's the group of church members that go to hold up signs and evangelize, or whether you feel called to go on a mission trip, or whether you feel led to tell someone at your school about Jesus, we are all called to share this message. And we have the ability to do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. We are either on one of those journeys where we are growing, or we have grown, we are still growing, but we feel ready to go out and tell others about Christ. This involves being a good soldier. It involves being strengthened by grace, sharing in Christ's suffering, and maintaining focus on our calling, and being equipped for spiritual warfare through God's word. Well, what does it mean to be a good soldier? We're strengthened by the grace of God that we experience every day. We share in Christ's suffering. We maintain focus on what we're called to do. And we're equipped for spiritual warfare through God's word. And this is where we are today. Because I've shared with you guys that we're on this journey of growing as soldiers. And it's my belief that you cannot be an authentic Christian that is focused on the mission of Jesus Christ without having some understanding of spiritual warfare. You will go out and try to do things for God, and some of those things might be accomplished, but we have a real enemy that I feel will just absolutely destroy anybody who doesn't know how to stand firm in their authority in Christ, nor do they have a good understanding of spiritual warfare. Well, here's the thing about spiritual warfare. It's not often taught in church. Why? Because it's not a topic that fills the pews. It's not a topic that pleases people. And it's not a topic that most people are willing to digest. Yet, Jesus talked about it all throughout the Gospels and all throughout the Bible. Yet us as leaders or pastors, in some way we have failed to teach and equip the church with this topic of spiritual warfare. And the other thing is that even as we talk about this topic, I will remind you guys that it is not meant to bring fear, but it is meant to bring awareness. There is going to be a lot that I will share with you guys over the next couple of months. And I know without a shadow of a doubt, it is absolutely going to redefine some of the things that you have grown up learning. But it comes from the Bible. It comes from truth. There are going to be some things that are going to cause you to think about, wow, this is what God means when he said this or when he said that. Or, wow, this is what it means to actually follow Christ. I need to take up my authority over things in the unseen. What is Pastor Christian talking about? Well, we're going to learn about these things. We're going to go on this journey of understanding spiritual warfare so that we are better equipped in our faith to stand against our enemy and to also be effective in the kingdom of God. We understood that last week. Well, spiritual warfare 101. We learned this last week. What is the focus of Satan and his kingdom? I will remind you guys if you forgot. God has an army. He has angels at his call at any moment to do what God wants them to do. We don't see them. The Bible says sometimes maybe in your life you may encounter an angel, but none of us see angels in this room right now. Yet they are fighting on our behalf in the unseen realm. And the Bible says that God uses angels as a part of his army to do things in the unseen. Well, the truth according to the Bible is that Satan also has an army. He has an army of fallen angels, and he has an army of demons that he uses to, we learned this last week, three things. Keep one from genuinely knowing Christ. He wants to stop people from hearing the truth of the gospel and distract Christians from growing in their knowledge of the Bible and relationship with Christ. If Satan cannot prevent someone from hearing the gospel, and we think, well, you know, people that we share the gospel with, you know, for whatever reason, they just never seem to believe. Yeah, that's partly free will because they're making a choice to reject the gospel. But there are also demonic things working in the unseen realm to cause people not to believe. The Bible says it's a spirit of unbelief. It's a spirit of doubt. But if some people do put their faith in Jesus Christ, then Satan is working to distract them. Right now, he may be causing you to get distracted, talk to your friend, sleep, whatever. He wants you to leave here not remembering the Bible, not remembering the truth that was shared, and not actually growing into the likeness of Christ. Some of you may think, well, I'm just tired because I went to bed at 2 a.m. No, I can submit to you that there are demonic forces in this room that are working to distract you from growing in your relationship with God, from understanding the truth, and growing into the likeness of Christ, and actually following Christ. It is not simply just our choice, but there are things that are looking to distract and destroy us as Christians. Satan and his kingdom also keep someone from spiritually maturing, effectively serving Christ and making disciples of Christ. We'll talk about this later. It's called a spirit of religion. And Jesus encountered it every day with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And he talks about it. Satan and his kingdom loves people who come to church every Sunday, yet never grow into an actual disciple of Christ. Satan loves that. He loves comfortable Christianity, where Christians are just comfortable going to church on Sunday, worshiping God, and then going right back into their week, and nothing has changed in their life. Satan is actually very pleased if a Christian just comes to church on Sunday, and yet their faith and their life looks nothing like Jesus Christ. He is totally satisfied with that. And he wants to keep people from spiritually maturing and growing in their effectiveness for the kingdom of God. And the last thing that we learned is that Satan and his kingdom, they want to cause disunity and division in the body of Christ. I've witnessed this in 20 years of ministry. I'm sure some of you have witnessed this. When somebody gets offended at the pastor and what the pastor said, or somebody gets offended at another church member and decides to leave the church, that is not just simply that person making a choice. But Satan, I believe, and his kingdom is working to cause division and disunity in the church. Why? Because we've already been taught this. When Jesus prayed in John 17 that the unity in the church would be an example to the world of authentic love. Satan knows that if he can destroy that unity and destroy that authenticity of love, then the church's example to the world is going to be distorted. And I don't know if you talk to many people in the world about what they think about the church. I do every week. And people do not have a very good opinion of church. Most people have either been hurt by the church or think the church is just a place where people go to connect with God, but they don't actually love each other. This is the view of people that they have of the church, is that the church just doesn't really live in a way that pleases God. Why? Because they see sometimes, sadly, people struggle with unforgiveness. People get offended and they leave. People gossip. Many people have gone to church and they've had a negative experience. Why do people treat each other like that if Jesus is a part of their life? Or why do people do this or that if Jesus is authentically their Savior? The world right now does not have a good image of the church, which is why God is challenging us to be a healthy church, to be an authentic example of Christ to the world. And that is rooted in our unity. It's rooted in how we love one another, how we talk about each other, how we treat one another, how we pray for one another, and how we authentically love each other. It's rooted in that. But Satan looks to destroy that, the unity in the church. He wants to cause division and disunity in the church. It's something that we need to be mindful of. As soldiers of Christ, we are called to live differently. I've shared this with you guys before, that there are only two types of children according to the Bible. There are children of God, and there are children of Satan. There's only two types of children. And as children of God, we are called to live differently. And this will require us to live as soldiers that we have been called to live as. But here's the thing. I want to share with you guys three truths about our identity in Christ. Okay, because everything starts with a secure identity. And now more than ever, identity is under attack. There is so many different opinions, as I shared, about what our identity in Christ should look like. It's under attack, not only in the world, but we all have access to social media. There's so many different opinions out there. We need to first have a strong understanding of our identity in Christ if we are going to authentically live as the Christ followers that we are called to live as. And I want to share three truths about our identity. And it's going to be one truth every week for the next couple of sermons. Hey, I won't be speaking next week, but the week after, and then 1 week in December, three truths, okay? So let's look first at the scripture reading from today. It says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. And I want you to pay attention to this. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. We need to understand the grace of God if we are going to actually grow as true disciples of Christ. So here is truth number one, is that you are loved and chosen. Okay, you say, well, I know that. And that's good that you know that. But here's the thing. Do you know that most Christians statistically struggle to believe that they are loved by God on a daily basis? When people sin, when believers sin, depending on your feeling or what you're struggling with, some struggle with guilt, some struggle with shame, some struggle with doubt that God really loves them. Even when they mess up, or even when they do bad things, or even when they sin. But the truth according to Ephesians is that we are loved and we are chosen by God. God did not start loving us when he saw sin in the world or when he started seeing evil in the world. God loved us from before creation and chose us to be set apart. Think about that for a moment. Think about that any time you struggle with not feeling secure in God, or feeling loved by God, or feeling worthy enough to be a Christian, or feeling worthy enough to do anything. It says in the scripture that even before he made the world, God loved you. That as he was forming the world and creating the heavens and the earth, that he loved you and he loved me. And if you are a Christian today and you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, that God chose you. There is nothing that you could have done to do that. All you simply did was receive a free gift of grace. There's nothing that we can do. We cannot work for our salvation. There's nothing that we could have done. There's nothing that we can do. But the grace of God, it's all God's love and grace. And he chose us and he loved us. That is such a simple truth. We sing about it every week on Sunday. We talk about it, how God loves us. We share about it with one another. Yet sometimes it's hard to actually believe that. That even when we mess up, God still loves us. And something we're going to talk about next week is the Bible says he actually remembers our sin no more. You know that most Christians think more about their sin than God does? We dwell on our sin and our struggles and our shortcomings more than God does. We get caught up in the guilt. We get caught up in the shame. We get caught up in the disappointment more than God does. And God is wanting to remind us about our identity in Christ. That he has chosen us. He has loved us from the beginning of time. And that there is nothing that will separate us from his love. There is no power in heaven or on earth. Nothing in this life is going to be able to separate us from the love of God. As Christians, if you've received that free gift of grace, you have been adopted into the family of God. And you have been identified as his own, and you belong to him. Okay, that has to resonate with each of us. That we've been adopted into a new family. The scripture said last week that once we used to be dead in our sin, following the ways of the world. But thank you to God's grace and mercy, we now have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we have a new father. We have a new daddy, Abba Father, and we have been adopted into his family. We belong to him. We are his children. And this should cause us to have this strong identity that is rooted in Christ. If we are going to endure, if we are going to grow as soldiers of Christ, it's going to start with a strong identity that is rooted in Christ. That despite what anybody tells you, maybe even including your parents sometimes, because here's the thing. We all grow up in different cultures, right? I understand that in my culture, the biggest struggle for me and my family was pride and also religion, and God broke me free from that. But I also understand that in Asian culture, a big thing is shame and guilt and also working. Task-oriented mindset. And I want to encourage you, there's nothing that you can do to earn the grace of God. And even when you mess up, There is no guilt or shame that you need to accept from anyone or even from the attacks of Satan that will separate you from this one truth, that you are loved and you are chosen by God. And despite your shortcomings, you are his son or you are his daughter. And this should build a strong identity in us. And what is that strong identity? That no matter what we face in this life, no matter what we go through, no matter how many times you mess up in this life, you will still be and always will be accepted by God. There's nothing that will ever change that. Okay, you might be, you know, in school, and you know, if you do something wrong to your friends, or you just don't live up to their standard of what they want you to do, you're out of the group, right? You're no longer accepted. Well, God will always accept us no matter what. And we also need to accept one another no matter what as a church family. But because even if we face rejection by others, we need to accept one another despite our differences and despite not always thinking the same way. We need to accept one another, but we will always be accepted by God. We will always be significant in God's eyes. There will never come a time in our life where we are not significant to God and extremely valuable to God. And we will always be secure in God. Those are some truths that will never fade away. But every day will be a battle to believe this. Because one, the enemy will look to get you to doubt these truths. And also, the opinions of people around you will get you to doubt this truth. Will try to get you to doubt this truth. But this is what it means to have a strong identity that is rooted in Christ. You are accepted, you are significant, and you are secure in Jesus. We have to believe that. Every day we have to believe that. Because the enemy will work to cause us to doubt this truth. When you get tied up in a little bit of sin, well, there's going to be a voice that tells you, see, God doesn't love you. God doesn't care about you. Or maybe you might face some difficulty in life and things don't actually go the way that you necessarily want, or things get a little bit uncomfortable. That's where you might hear a voice that says, God doesn't care about you. God has abandoned you because things are not going well in your life. Those are all lies. Because whether things are going good or bad, or whether we face difficulty or not, or whether we sin or not, these truths still remain. And you need to remember them. Okay, I don't want to give the acronym that is there. Okay, it's not a good acronym. Maybe say SAS, S-A-S to remember, but try to remember this. During your week or every day that you start to doubt whether or not God loves you or whether or not he really cares about you. Because the truth of the matter is we are accepted, we are significant, and we are secure. We have been chosen and we are loved. And God had each and every single one of us on his mind even before he started to create the world. If you understand that and you believe that and you receive that, then half of the hard part is over. Because what you believe and what you value will be reflected in how you live. If you have a wrong image of yourself, or if you have a wrong identity of yourself, it will be reflected in how you live. But if you have a strong identity rooted in Christ, that too will be reflected in how you live. And how we respond to Christ and his gospel, how we grow as soldiers of Christ, how we actually be fruitful for his kingdom, is we need to have this strong identity that is rooted in Christ. So this, I don't want us to forget ever, because we have to remember it on a daily basis. We are accepted, we are significant, and we are secure through the blood of Jesus Christ and in God. Let's pray. Father, it's a simple truth that we are reminded of, that we are loved by you and we have been chosen by you. But the moment we leave here today, busyness, distraction, things in our life will automatically start to challenge this truth, distort this identity in Christ. And we need to daily remember that we are not called to get caught up in the worldly distractions or the things of this world. We're not called to believe the opinions of the people around us that don't align with your word. And sometimes those opinions come from the closest people that are around us. Yet, Jesus, you want the foundation of our life. You want our faith to be built on the truth of your word, the identity that you have for us. So who are we? That is a question that we were asking last week. If somebody were to ask us who we are, who do we identify ourselves with? Some of us, we find our identity sometimes in our career or in our schooling or even just being a good son or a good daughter. But Father, none of those things is actually what you want us to identify ourselves with. Your word says that we are your children. We are your sons. We are your daughters. And this is what our real identity is, that through your grace, God, through your mercy, through your love, we have been saved, we have been redeemed, we have been justified. And we have been adopted into your family. There's nothing that we could have done to earn this. This is a free gift that you have given to us by your grace and by your love. And if we have received that, God, I just pray that we would remember this truth, that as your sons and as your daughters, we are accepted, we are significant, and we are secure. And there is nothing that can separate us from your love. And I pray, Holy Spirit, each and every single day that you would remind us of this truth from the moment we wake up to the moment we go to bed. That we would remember that we are a part of your family and that we are loved by you. No matter how much we mess up, no matter how much we get distracted by the things of this world, that God, you still love us. You want us to turn to you. You want us to follow you. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would help us to grow as soldiers of Jesus Christ. That as we continue to learn about spiritual warfare, it's not a topic that where we can just check the box and say, wow, amazing. I learned about spiritual warfare. I learned about demons. I learned about Satan and his kingdom. But we will need to respond with what we learn. And if we learn truth, God, then you require us to respond to that truth. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would grow us to be not only strong in our identity, but to grow as soldiers of Christ. That is ready to go to battle against our enemy and to go out into this world and to preach the gospel and to tell others that they too have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. This is our mandate and this is our mission as the church. And if we are not faithful to it, God, then there's no reason why we should exist as the church. And so I pray that you would help us to be faithful with this mission. Not just one of us, not just two of us, not just three of us, but you want all of us to be faithful to preaching the gospel and making disciples. That is the Great Commission, and that is the mission of your church. And so help us to grow as soldiers so that we can be faithful to this mission. And when we stand before you, Jesus, you will not judge us on our sin because sin has been dealt with by your blood. But you will judge us based on our faithfulness to your mission and to how we have lived this life completely for you. And I just pray that we would all desire to be faithful to the things that you have called us to be faithful to. And so, Holy Spirit, be with us. We need you. And I ask that you would help us to continue to grow and to mature into the likeness of Jesus Christ. In the powerful name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Dallas.
Thank you, Pastor Christian. Yes. Who are you? I'm a follower.
Amen.
The Son of Jesus Christ. I'm one of his children as well, too. And because of his grace and glory, we are one step ahead of the Savior as well, too.
Amen.
We were chosen and loved by him. So, it's him. We are one step ahead. That's why, and same thing again, it's he is the cause.
You already did this one.
It's okay.
Can I have it?
No.
Oh.
Beautiful Lord, wonderful.